Hi, I'm Tara Brabazon and welcome to this, Session 11 of Creative Industries. The aim of our session today is to give students the skills to read the body and question the taken for granted assumptions we have about clothes. But fashion is also one of the major, indeed it's one of the fashionable, areas of the new economy. Fashion is an integral component of creative industries pretty well around the world. So what we're going to do is have a flick through the wardrobe and understand creative industries through fashion. Let's firstly have a look at fashion as language. It is a great cliche of our culture that you are what you wear. Certainly the way in which we present our external or bodily surface determines how our body as a text is read by the people around us. Bit disturbing, isn't it? Fashion is a language, a collection of signs that's ordered through a social grammar or a code. Like all languages, fashion can only be understood and read by agreeing on particular rules between wearers and readers. So what's ugly, what's attractive, what's in, what's out. There is a literacy, a vocabulary, and a politics to fashion. The cliche that that outfit makes a statement shows how codes fit together, how codes, when they do align properly, generate a logic between the parts. So that's why we wear a skirt on our lower torso. We don't wear it on our head. That's why I don't put underwear as earrings, because there is an order, a grammar to how we put together an outfit. So meaning in fashion is conveyed through four parts, four constitutive elements. Firstly, the form, the shape of the garment, like the 1920s tube look. Secondly, colour. Colour can signify calmness or energy. Think about the same outfit in red compared to the same outfit in, say, blue. Also, there's texture and pattern, the different meanings of lace or leather. And then the style. The style is the overall effect of the garment. So already we're working out fashion is not about clothes. There's a network of cultural and creative industries like journalism, advertising, television, shopping malls and boutiques that generate meaning from cloth. Each item of clothing is locked into a social and a semiotic system. So what clothing does is it creates spaces for bodies, spaces for body action. Aerobics wear or swimwear configures space differently from a ball gown or a dinner suit. When we know and understand these differences, it allows us as people, as textual readers, to actually negotiate social relationships. So when we see somebody and we read and understand what they're wearing, we have a sense about how we are to treat them. So fashion is about a literacy, being able to read and interpret bodies and insert them into a social position. So while cloth is not gendered, it is enmeshed in a system of signs. There are three gendered differentiations that structure clothes. Firstly, masculine fabric is stiffer and heavier than feminine fabrics. Secondly, masculine colours are often darker and more subdued. And men's clothing is more tailored, while women's clothing is more curved or flowing. So for the creative industries project, fashion and fashion design is an important part of the commercialization of imagination and creativity. While a design may be difficult to fund, it might be difficult to exploit, when it becomes an item of clothing, it can be bought and sold far more easily. The expansion of clothes and their functions through the 20th century made fashion really the industry to watch through the 21st. The body, therefore, is much more than a coat hanger for fashion. We learn about work and leisure. We learn about class and identity through fashion. So fashion as a creative industry needs to be positioned in the changes to the workplace. As the relationship between work and leisure has changed, and lifestyles have been the ambivalent replacement to it, the role of fashion has also transformed. Fashion in the workplace is a way to track the changes to a new economic environment. It also allows us to see how older notions of the professional workplace and professional workplace dressing are undermined in this casualized employment environment. There is a notion that those who are creative, as in creative darling, those who are creative will be paid less and they'll accept this reduction in pay because of their art. So creative positions, a fashion designer, a graphic designer, a DJ, require skill, knowledge, talent and creativity. But they are contract, part-time and casual positions. So with the rise of creative industries in the United Kingdom, Aotearoa, New Zealand and Australia, there is an assumption that glamour is meant to make up for low wages. The best example, probably in the world, of fashion policy with an integrated creative industries inflection is derived from Creative New Zealand. Creative New Zealand is a composite body of the Arts Council, the Arts Board, the Wakatoi, and the Pacific Arts Committee. Education is part of this New Zealand arts package, along with the recognition of Aotearoa New Zealand's bicultural status. There's also a crucial link to tourism with the website www.creativetourism.co.nz. This is brilliant. A trip can be planned to New Zealand with an opportunity to participate in artistic workshops with Indigenous materials and techniques such as bone carving. So New Zealand's official tourism site includes attention to fashion, food, art and sport. So art and culture are not separate from fashion, separate from sport, separate from tourism, but they're integrated. Fabulous. Now, in fashion, there are many workers who are low paid and are exploited. The attention to the designer means that the pattern cutter, the machinist, the shop assistant, the buyer, the marketer, the accountant are often forgotten. We remain terribly focused on the designers, the Christian Dior's, and on we go. But there's also a gender question to address. With the exception of fashion, the design-based occupations are overwhelmingly male. So when we talk about fashion, it's the only creative industries that's actually dominated by women. So the label creative industries is a way to glamorize the traditionally feminine and undervalued jobs such as sewing, cooking, and decorating. Have a think about that. Now let's, for our final little bit, connect these points up and look at the relationship between fashion and the new economy. We all know, I think, it's really hard work to get a good job. It's a hard job to actually keep a good job. But in the environment of a new economy, the social and economic definitions of a good job have changed dramatically. Technological change has transformed not only the nature of work, but the role of fashion in the workplace. Notions of work, the work ethic, and professionalism are transforming around us. In the 1990s, the booming IT industries triggered the phrase, the new economy. Through post-Fordism and casualisation, skills and creativity became valued in the smaller, core economy. Due to the new working hours, or should I say the extension of working hours, workspaces became sites of leisure as well as work. Google famously has a chef that specialises in organically grown produce. So such a confluence of leisure and work was meant to make working longer hours easier and stimulate productivity. Clothing also transformed in this environment. Clothing is a marker of workplace power. The 1980s power suit has been replaced, but the consequences of this change is the ambiguous shifting of the boundaries between work and leisure. So fashion has transformed the new economy for men and for women. Since the late 1980s, the suit has been in decline. Women are finding it more straightforward, more easy to locate themselves into the world of work, but that's because the line between work and leisure has been blurred. Of course, much of the Australian workplace maintains the old economy. But the popular cultural workplace of programs like Sex and the City, for example, or the lifestyle programming, has had an influence. Technological gadgets and casual dress masks the clash of new economic and old economic values in how we think about work and power. Fashion is an external confirmation, as both a language and an industry, that we've actually yet to resolve the economic and social changes in our lives.